Welcome back, everyone, to another exciting episode of AI Unchained. We hope you're ready because today we've got a jam-packed lineup for you. As always, I'm Jack, your co-host fresh off a caffeine high and ready to dive into the latest in tech, AI, and more.
And I'm Cor, your humble yet significantly better-looking co-host. Today we've got some phenomenal topics that are making waves in the world of technology and beyond. Seriously, folks, you don't want to miss this.
That's right. We're charging headfirst into the chaos. First up, we'll be dissecting the latest advances in AI, including breakthroughs in natural language processing and autonomous systems. Spoiler alert, the machines are getting smarter, and I'm starting to worry.
You and me both, Jack. Only a matter of time before they take over our jobs. And what would we do then? Start a podcast? Oh, wait.
Then we'll shift gears to Web 3.0 developments. Crypto might be in a bear market, but the innovation isn't stopping. We'll talk about recent regulatory changes, decentralization, and maybe throw in a bit of NFT drama because who doesn't love that?
Next on our docket is the business realm, M&As, startup funding rounds, and some juicy insider gossip. If you've ever wondered what keeps Silicon Valley up at night, we're about to spill the beans.
Speaking of beans, I hear there's something brewing in the political landscape, especially how governments are dealing with the tech giants. This ought to make for some lively debate.
You know it, Jack. We'll try to keep the political talk grounded, but fair warning, some feathers might get ruffled today. And if you're easily offended, well, you might want to stick around anyway, because it's going to be ridiculously entertaining.
Before we get started, a big shout out to our listeners. You guys are the reason we do this. So whether you're on your morning commute, hitting the gym, or avoiding work, let's get into today's episode of AI Unchained.
Buckle up, folks. It's time to unleash the Unchained Insights. Jack, where do we start?
Let's kick things off with AI. Cor, I heard you've been hanging out with some chatbots lately.
Guilty as charged. And let me tell you, they are seriously challenging my wit. All right, let's dive in.
Okay, Cor. Let's dive into why everything we're discussing right now matters in the grand scheme of cryptographic applications. Why is the security of these proof systems, like the one the Ethereum Foundation is trying to poke holes in, such a big deal?
Oh, it's huge, Jack. We're talking about the backbone of trust in systems many people use daily without them even knowing it. Take, for example, these blockchain proof protocols. Blockchain, at its core, relies on cryptographic principles to ensure that all data is verified, secure, and immutable. But if there's a method to trick these proof protocols, well, then people can essentially certify lies.
So let's put that into perspective. If I were to say person A sent person B $1 million, and this gets falsely certified, the entire trust chain collapses. You then have cases of fraudulent transactions occurring without the security net that cryptographic proofs are supposed to provide.
Exactly. It gets even scarier when you think about the scale. We're not just talking about a single transaction, but potentially millions. All these decentralized applications and financial transactions that hinge on these cryptographic proofs could be compromised.
That's why Dmitry Kavrotovich and his team shaking the bedrock assumption with their findings is so critical. It could lead us to rethink the entire cryptographic security structure.
Yes, and let's remember that randomness is a massive part of why these systems work. Without true randomness, our cryptographic foundations are weak. Imagine a casino where the slots aren't random. Everybody would figure it out, and the system would fail fast.
And here's where that new paper comes into play. They've shown that no matter which hash function you use for randomness, you can still trick these systems into certifying false statements. That blows the concept of airtightness straight out of the water.
For sure. With attack vectors like these, we're essentially looking at a world where the reliability of blockchains and associated applications stands on shakier ground. It's like building a skyscraper on quicksand.
So, how should the industry respond to these vulnerabilities? Should we expect a seismic shift in the methods we use?
I'd say it's inevitable. Cryptographers and developers alike will need to be part of the solution, exploring alternatives or strengthening existing models to withstand such attacks. As Rothblum mentioned, even if we come up with more stringent proof requirements, there's no guarantee another attack method won't be discovered.
Sounds like a tough balancing act. On one hand, innovation drives forward. And on the other, it's a constant cat and mouse game in terms of security loopholes and fixes.
That's where artificial intelligence might step in. Remember the part about Coinbase integrating with Perplexity AI? It could turn the tables a bit by providing real-time, intelligent data to stay ahead of malicious actors. AI could predict patterns or anomalies that pose threats, making our cryptographic systems more robust.
It's fascinating indeed. And it's not just about keeping up, but one-upping the hackers and those exploiting the system. We are entering an era where proactive measures, thanks to AI, might just provide the edge we need.
Exactly, Jack. The future of cryptographic security could well be shaped by how well we integrate these advanced technologies. AI providing real-time insights might just be the game changer we need to ensure robust cryptographic principles.
And let's not forget the importance of collaboration in the community. The Ethereum Foundation offering bounties to anyone who could find vulnerabilities is a great move. It incentivizes the brightest minds to join the effort to secure cryptographic systems before bad actors can exploit them.
Right. It's a promising strategy. Bounties bring in diverse skill sets and approaches to problem solving. Encouraging a collaborative front against such vulnerabilities could prevent a large-scale exploit.
It's a blend of vigilance, innovation, and collaboration. Keeping systems airtight in today's rapidly evolving cyber landscape is not just a necessity, but a continuous effort we need to uphold.
Absolutely. And as we continue to build on these principles, we're not only safeguarding financial transactions, but also promoting trust in digital interactions on a broader scale.
Well said, Cor. The paradigms of cryptographic security will indeed keep evolving, and our role is to stay ahead of the curve. Ready to jump to our next topic?
Absolutely, Jack. Let's get into the implications of AI model tweaks cutting energy use by 90%.
And continuing our conversation on the revolutionary advancement in local AI models, we have to talk about Alima and Cactus new platforms. I mean, deploying LLMs locally on laptops and edge servers is one thing, but putting them on phones, that's a game changer.
Absolutely, Jack. It's like having a personalized AI right in your pocket, but without sending your data off to some massive server farm. That's crucial for privacy and real-time inference. No one wants to wait for a response because their message has to travel halfway around the world, right?
Precisely. And Alima's focus on laptops and edge servers complements what Cactus is doing on mobile devices. Imagine AI apps and agents operating directly on your phone, delivering instant responses and handling tasks without the cloud processing delay. It's like moving from dial-up to high-speed internet overnight.
Right. And it also opens the door for personalized routines. Think about personalized RAG pipelines that can adapt based on your specific context and needs. It's bringing AI even closer to the individual user level, which is fantastic. Apple and Google are already on this path with their own frameworks, but they're a bit more, how should I put it?
Platform-specific and a bit more walled off.
Exactly. And here's where Cactus RealTalk comes in. They're pushing the envelope even further by offloading as much computation as possible to the physical device itself. It simplifies the system overall and makes everything much more transparent.
That transparency is key. People should understand the systems they interact with. This takes away the black box mystery of most AI systems. Plus, it aligns well with the values of Dynamic Land's community, bringing in diverse and underserved groups to really decide how they want to use next-gen computing. It's democratizing tech in its true sense.
You know, Jack, speaking of visibility, I'm always amazed at how these new systems aim to make everything understandable top to bottom. Compare that to current AI models where everything is abstract unless you're a machine learning expert. It's revolutionary for everyone to see clearly why something works or doesn't work.
Which makes it drastically different from our usual AI assistants. The regular models are overloaded with massive data sets trying to predict our needs, but this new approach almost feels modest yet highly agile. They don't pretend to know everything, and that's powerful.
Earlier AI systems had a certain arrogance, I know everything, just ask me. But here, it's collaborative. You learn along with the machine, tweaking and changing things to suit your immediate needs. It's the perfect blend of human intuition and machine efficiency.
Exactly. But let's not forget about the tangible benefits like real-time performance with no latency. That's a game changer for so many applications, from healthcare, where immediate analysis can save lives, to everyday applications like personalized recommendations or real-time translations.
And on page of productivity, when we look at software development, the potential impact there is massive too. However, I want to point out the irony of the Meta study where AI tools reportedly slowed down developers by 19%. I mean, isn't it wild that despite all the hype, real-world productivity actually took a hit?
That's right. It shows that while AI is powerful, we still have a long way to go in making it truly efficient and user-friendly. Developers anticipated a 20% speedup, but ended up taking longer because they had to constantly check and recheck the AI's work. It's a humbling reminder that AI needs to adapt better to real-world use cases.
Exactly. The dream of AI doing all the heavy lifting is great, but right now, it's still a bit of an over-enthusiastic apprentice that needs close supervision. It's not the magic bullet just yet, although tools like Cactus and Alima are steps in the right direction.
Totally agree. And there's also the broader question of how this could change the tech landscape and even our jobs. When AI can handle tasks efficiently and locally, it could decentralize computing power and make high-level tech accessible to more people. It's an exciting future.
Definitely, Jack. It's all about making technology work for us in a way that's both empowering and understandable. And the key takeaway here? The best AI is the one that fits seamlessly into our lives, helping us understand and solve problems without us having to worry about the nuts and bolts.
And that's the future we're gearing towards. More personalized, more local, and much more private. Pillow talk with your AI isn't just around the corner. It's right in your hand, running smoothly, efficiently, and most importantly, transparently.
Here's to hoping we all get there soon and responsibly, keeping technology advancing in a way that's both exciting and considerate of the implications it has on all aspects of our lives.
Hear, hear. All right, folks, stay tuned as we delve deeper into the impacts of these advancements and how they might just transform other areas than just AI applications. So, Core, before diving into the specifics of Dynamic Land and how they shaped communal computing, let's just take a moment to appreciate what their project represented. I mean, imagine you walk into a workspace where the whole community is involved in creating projects, like an ongoing hackathon with a tangible physical twist.
Absolutely, Jack. Dynamic Land wasn't just a space for coding or digital creation. It was a playground where physical and digital worlds collided. People were drawing notations on paper, mixing them with real-time coding, and creating something that felt almost magical.
Exactly. They were merging metalanguages, which are different symbolic systems, with physical activities. This meant more intuitive and collaborative ways to understand and build technology. Think of a giant digital whiteboard, but one where everyone could physically interact with the pieces.
That's such a key point. When you break down these complex ideas into something tactile, it becomes much more accessible. We're often stuck to screens, but touching, drawing, and physically manipulating objects can spark a whole different kind of creativity and understanding.
You know what it reminds me of? It's like when I was learning about programming for the first time. Look, staring at lines of code on a screen as a newbie was intimidating, to say the least. But if you give me a set of physical objects and tell me these represent the data structures and algorithms, all of a sudden, it clicks in a completely new way.
Totally. And how this approach influences security is interesting. Instead of vaguely saying a product is secure, Dynamic Land's methodology promotes transparency. You should describe specifically how each feature works towards improving trustworthiness. Qualifiers and data-backed evidence can make a world of difference.
Yeah, rather than making these broad, sometimes empty claims, say exactly what steps are taken to ensure security. In a way, it turns these abstract, intimidating concepts into something more concrete and verifiable.
That's another reason why this kind of communal approach to technology is so powerful. By involving the community, the scrutiny over security features becomes communal too. And the feedback loop, oh man, it gets so tight and efficient.
And security isn't just about technology. It's also about the social fabric of the community that interacts with it. When people have skin in the game, the responsibility toward making something secure amps up significantly.
Speaking of involvement, one example of breaking it down effectively is how they're approaching real talk. They're blending sentences, notations, and diagrams to make the understanding as compact and clear as possible. Think of it as coding meets comic strip, a concise but powerful way to convey meaning.
Right, and I love that blend. It's like annotating a comic book to describe what's happening in each frame, but in the context of live coding and data interpretation. It makes tackling complex problems feel like solving a puzzle with your friends. And who doesn't love a good puzzle?
And there's a deeper philosophical layer here, too. Community involvement unearths diverse perspectives. A kid might see something an expert coder misses, or an artist might visualize a security flaw in a way a traditional engineer wouldn't even consider.
It's the democratization of technology. When everyone has the tools and the means to contribute, the innovation isn't just top-down, it's bottom-up and side-to-side. That's such a beautiful thing.
Absolutely, and that's precisely what they're nurturing at Dynamic Land. A world where metalanguages and physical engagement merge to foster a deeper, shared understanding of technology. It feels like the future, you know?
Oh, no doubt. And we've seen this principle extend to larger tech communities, too. Technologists are starting to recognize that giving detailed, evidence-driven descriptions of their practices, like Dynamic Land has done, is vital for building trust and collaboration.
It's like the recent push for transparency in tech. The more people understand how something works, the less intimidating and more approachable it becomes. That's why events and projects that emphasize community involvement, like what Dynamic Land has championed, are so critical.
So true. We need to keep this momentum going. As we move forward, incorporating these ideas into broader tech practices could revolutionize how we all interact with technology.
Exactly, Jack. And with that, the conversation perfectly segues into how these communal spaces and transparency efforts are influencing the business and political landscapes. But let's save that juicy bit for the next segment.
Can't wait, Cor. Let's dive into that in just a bit. All right, so we're talking about Yogev's perspective on cybersecurity and a potential major leak. It's a bit gloomy, but he does have a point. Finding a hole in the system means the boat is going down, but it's not just leaks, it's theft. The implications are massive. Imagine not just losing data, but actual money. It's terrifying.
Absolutely, Jack. Yogev's blunt honesty can be a comfort because he tends to bring the hard truths to light. Often, it's easy to overlook the severity of these breaches. It's kind of unnerving, but also refreshing to have someone just say it like it is, since many others in tech often sugarcoat the risks.
There's something to be said about neurodivergent minds like Yogev's. If he were a child prodigy today, the support might be vastly different. Back in the day, stepping out of the norm could be isolating. But nowadays, his genius would probably be celebrated with more acceptance and understanding of his unique thinking process.
True. We've come a long way. Speaking of forward thinking, Maria Palma's work at Freestyle Capital is impressive, too. Changing gears to EVs for a moment, Slate has been a real outlier with its approach, not hit by bankruptcy woes like many others. But producing new vehicles by late 2026, that's ambitious.
For sure. They're walking a tightrope between innovation and existing challenges. Slate's path forward might be promising, but there are no guarantees, especially with the U.S. EV sector being such a volatile space.
Definitely, Jack. Now, let's not forget about that recent NCA bust involving young hackers under suspicion of some serious crimes. It's like something out of a high-stakes spy thriller, except it's happening in real life.
Right? It's wild to imagine teenagers involved in hacking, blackmail, and money laundering. Makes me rethink my teenage years, mostly worrying about exams and who liked me back, not manipulating digital landscapes.
Haha, same here. But it's reflective of the times we're living in. Our digital transformation is accelerating, just like the innovations Fidelity Investments is pushing cloud agility and performance to deliver secure experiences. They're setting a standard for financial tech.
Yeah, and something that caught my eye was Polymorphic's impact on government efficiency. Reducing billions in wasted time and money by digitizing civic interactions is a game changer. I mean, 26 years of work saved? That's huge.
Indeed, Polymorphic seems to be reshaping governmental operations and customer service. The partnership with places like Palm Beach is testament to what's possible when tech meets civic service improvement.
And speaking of changing worlds, Carlos Domingo of Securitize is pushing for native tokenization in securities. It's the future of digital assets and investments. Open access and secure transactions could reshape the investment landscape.
I've always thought the promise of utility tokens was huge. They're not just investment tools, they're keys to future services, making innovation accessible to everyday users. It democratizes access in a way traditional investments never could.
Correct. The potential for accountability and provenance is enormous. Imagine being able to verify and trace every piece of value securely. The promise of prediction markets as described by Myriad Protocol fits right in here. Easy integration into any community with transparent, secure processes.
And then there's the entertainment industry's use of AI and digital replicas, creating quite a stir. SAG-AFTRA's recent deal with studios is groundbreaking, putting ethical boundaries on digital replicas and ensuring performer rights.
Robert Downey Jr. talking about suing future execs over unauthorized digital replicas was classic. It's fascinating how tech intersects with legal and ethical domains, often stirring up drama and pushing us to rethink privacy and consent.
It's about time legislators stepped in. Besides entertainment, tokenized assets backed by real money are having trials in Australia under Project Acacia. Combining traditional banking with digital assets opens up new possibilities.
Exactly. Seeing banks like Commonwealth Bank and fintechs like Fireblocks test these waters is a glimpse into the future of finance, bridging digital and physical, integrating cross-ecosystem models like Tesla and SpaceX.
This brings us full circle. Whether it's microloan rates in Asia packing hefty interest or tokenized assets piloting in Australia, tech's role in reshaping finance is undeniable.
Yep. And what's exciting is seeing these changes unfold in real time. Payment solutions, cybersecurity, digital finance, it's all interconnected. The future's here. We just need to navigate these times wisely.
Indeed. From hacking threats to democratizing investments, we've got big spaces to cover in tech. Here's hoping for genuine solutions and better days ahead, just like Yogev would have wanted.